In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Seed of wisdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I thought I would begin with the priesthood, and specifically on me, vocations to the priesthood. I will not necessarily quote from your outline, but just give you, first of all, something of an introduction. The lecture that I'm sharing with you was given to Sarah International. And the purpose was to promote vocations to the priesthood and also vocations to the consecrated life. Consequently, both the original purpose of this Sarah International and its pontifical status concentrate on vocations to the priesthood. I'm sharing with you, therefore, the outline lecture that I gave to Sarah International. And I could have made the title The Desperate Need of Vocations to the Priesthood. But I repeat, the desperate need in countries like ours. First, the statistical need. In most areas of our country, there is a grave need for priests. I was speaking, I'm giving a retreat to the Handmaids of the Precious Blood in New Mexico for 10 days, including Christmas Day, where they were given the privilege, contemplative community, of having Christmas dinner and Christmas evening meal, and could talk during the meal. And as I told the sisters, whose vocation is to pray and sacrifice for priests, the Catholic Church is going the most serious crisis, as I've said so often, of our 2,000 years of history. But the basis of the crisis is a crisis in the priesthood. It is no secret we've lost thousands of priests in our country. The lowest figure that Rome will allow me to quote is 8,000 in America priests since the Second Vatican Council who have left the priesthood. The official figure is closer to 10,000. However, that is not my focus. It is rather to speak to you on what I call the real need. In other words, without the priesthood, there is no Catholic Church. Period. My favorite definition of Protestantism, where I taught, as I think I've told you how many times by now, in 6 Protestant seminaries. My favorite definition of Protestantism is priestless Christianity. Why do we need the priesthood? Because we need the sacrifice of the Mass. We need Holy Communion, and we need the real presence of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Now, in general, without the priesthood, there would be no Mass, no communion, no real presence. And, to make it even stronger, no Christianity. And the heart of Christianity is sacrifice. That's why God became man. God could not, being God, sacrifice himself as God. That would be blasphemy. God became man to assume not just a human nature with a body and a soul. God became man to assume a human will. And there's one definition. I must have said this more than once. I urge you to memorize. What is a sacrifice? Sacrifice is a voluntary surrender. A voluntary surrender of something precious to God. Four crucial words in that definition. Voluntary, surrender, precious, and to God. And as we know, the most precious creature on earth. Guess who is the most precious creature on earth in our lives? Guess. Oh, you seem to agree. And within that most precious creature, what is the one power that we have which is the most demanding, the most difficult to surrender? Our will. As every mother knows, I put this in writing, never quoting the mothers who tell me. Father, they tell me, my baby has a strong will before it, he or she reaches the age of reason. Just for the record, do you have to use the use of your reason to will? Does a person have to be, well, what shall I say, have the use of their mind to will? Mothers carrying a child have told me, Father, especially those who have had more than one children, I know this baby is going to be strong-willed. 5 months before the baby is born. First, in general, the priesthood began at the Last Supper. Then Christ ordained the apostles. Having changed bread and wine into his own flesh and blood, he told them to do this, and the correct translation is, in commemoration of me. Every validly ordained priest traces his sacred orders historically to the Last Supper. No one else on earth has the power of transubstantiation except the man, and as now we are sure it must be masculine gender, whose ordination derives from the apostles given to them by Christ at the Last Supper to offer Mass, make communion possible, and bring the living Christ into our midst in the Blessed Sacrament. Time was when the basic truths of the Catholic faith could be taken for granted, but no more. Be bold to say that the crisis of vocations to the priesthood is at root a crisis of faith in the Holy Eucharist. So, as I think I've said more than once, called twice to Rome by the Holy Father, 86 and 88, to speak to his private secretary. Our first meeting was in the morning. That evening, the priest secretary would speak to the Holy Father. Next morning, I got my orders from the Holy Father. To save the Catholic Church in the United States, you Americans must recover your faith in the Holy Eucharist. You don't have dioceses like Saginaw or archdioceses like Los Angeles or archdioceses like Chicago. And the mildest word I can use, in convulsion. And the reason is because so many once-believing Catholics, including once-believing priests, no longer believe in the real presence and correspondingly in the priesthood ordained by Christ to make the real presence possible here on earth. At this point, then, let us briefly refresh our faith to recall what we believe about the need for the Mass, Holy Communion, and for the Blessed Sacrament, and therefore the need for the Catholic priesthood. And this, by way of, is an introduction. What I plan to do, and until we meet again, I ask you to please read this document. You've got about a month to do it. And consequently, as you see, my focus will be on why do we need the Mass? Why do we need Holy Communion? And why do we need the Blessed Sacrament? And then, whatever you can do to promote vocations of the priesthood in the name of our Lord, do so. And the single most important way is to ensure that we have good, strong, believing Catholic families. There are exceptions, but they are comparatively rare. Why then do we need the Mass? We need the Mass as the most powerful source of grace that a sinful world needs to obtain the mercy of God. As we've said on more than one occasion, the present Holy Father could not be clearer in emphasizing that the Eucharist is a sacrament. Three times over, it is a sacrament of the sacrifice of the Mass. We talk about development of doctrine, and if there's one major development of doctrine that our Holy Father brings out in lucid clarity, it is the Mass is a sacrament for the whole world. As more than one saint has declared, except for the Mass, the world would long ago have been destroyed for its sins. Then, so the Eucharist as sacrament. Sacrament of the Mass. Then, sacrament, what we casually call Holy Communion. And the key word is unholy. Oh, by the way, today is my 50 years and 200 days in the priesthood. And how many married people I have counseled over this half century. And by definition, a marriage is between a man and a woman. And men and women differ immensely. And I mean immensely. And the principal difference is not in the body, it's in the soul. Did you know that women have a different soul than men have? Did you know that? Most married men find out soon. And women too. I remember one bride calling me up. I forget from what city. The first day of her honeymoon. She didn't realize she married a man. And our holiness is mainly the result of meeting with conflict to our wills. Am I clear? We human beings become only as holy as we are in conflict with wills that are contrary to our own. Father, how can you say that? From experience. And consequently, I repeat, in counseling married people, how often do you go to communion? Or we try to go every week? How about going every day? Oh, please. That's impossible. Look, you came to me for counsel. You need the grace. You can never live with each other peacefully without God's grace. We become holy as a price of conflict. We need people who are different from us. Then, the real presence. I think most Catholics, when they talk about the Holy Eucharist as a sacrament, think of Holy Communion. No. The Eucharist is a sacrament three times over. And a sacrament, by definition, gives grace just because, well, just because the sacrament is, well, we usually say received. Just because the sacrament here is offered, and just because the sacrament is present. The moment you step into a Catholic church, you're in the presence of the sacrament. First in the Mass. We need the Mass as the most powerful source of grace that a sinful world needs to obtain the mercy of God. In an age like ours, over 50 million unborn children are annually murdered in their mother's wombs. Since these notes were put together, the figure is much higher. When self-idolatry has, among millions, replaced the worship of the one true God, reread our Holy Father's encyclical, The Splendor of Truth, which he says, our modern world is in especially developed countries, and he didn't say this, but I can say it, like ours. Our modern world is a world in which self-adoration has replaced the adoration of God. Pro-choicers don't have to explain whose will they choose to follow. It's their own will. And hear it. We adore only the being whose will we follow. Say that again. We adore only the being whose will we follow. We all have a free will. Sure we do. Why do we have a free will? To choose to follow the will of God. Surely we need desperately oceans of merciful grace from an offended God to bring people back to their senses and preserve them from the eternal death that awaits those who die estranged from God. Over the years in teaching eschatology, as you know, that means the theology of the four last things, death, judgment, heaven, and hell. In teaching eschatology, I would tell my students, the church has never given an official interpretation of Christ's words. Remember, and the path that leads to everlasting life is narrow, and few there are that walk that way. The path that leads to everlasting death is broad, and many there are who walk that way. All the church will say is that it is not easy to reach heaven. And Christ wanted to emphasize that to reach heaven is hard. And the English word is hard. And the English word derived from the Latin is difficult. And, again, as I've told my students, many of the fathers of the church, whom the present Holy Father urges us to read, follow, meditate on the great minds, Saint Augustine, Saint Jerome, Saint Basil, the great minds of the early church, many of the fathers of the church say the interpretation of that statement of Christ is that the majority of the human race will not reach heaven. We don't know how many will reach heaven. What we want to make sure is that we will reach heaven, right? And the key to reaching heaven is the grace of God. And each sacrament gives its own distinctive grace. What is the distinctive grace of the sacrament of the Mass? Get the word sacrament of the Mass. The distinctive grace of the sacrament, call it sacrifice of the Mass, is the grace of surrendering our wills to the will of God. But as we know, grace is a gift which God gives the mind, called illumination, which He gives the will, called inspiration. But these graces must be cooperated with. We are Catholics. We believe in meriting heaven, earning heaven. The word merit, hear it, is nowhere, absolutely zero, nowhere in any authentic, authorized Protestant writer. Absolute zero. As I told my Protestant students for 7 years of the Lutheran School of Theology and other seminaries at which I taught, Protestant seminaries, you poor Protestants, you have been deprived of the great treasure of knowing you are to merit, merit heaven, and meritum in Latin is wage. It's what you earn. We don't earn a wage unless you work. What's our principal work in this world? Cooperating with the grace of God. And that's the hardest work in life. Pardon me, is the most important work in life. The grace which the sacrament, I repeat, the sacrament of the Mass confers is the grace enabling us to surrender our wills. And this to come back to marriage. if there's anything the Lord, shall I use the verb, demands of husband and wife to surrender their wills always according to the will of God. She to her husband, and the husband to her. And then, by the way, is the only valid definition of love. You love only the person whose will you are ready and willing to accept, and, or I use the other verb, surrender to. Always, I repeat, under the will of God. The most potent source of this grace is the Mass. And no one but a priest can offer this sacrifice. As you go through our lectures on the priesthood, now we need to understand the absolute, utter necessity of the Mass, and not just to be said in some distant place, where I am present at the Mass. As you people know so painfully well, in some dioceses and parishes, the liturgy of the Mass is a parody. I'm using mild language of what the celebration of the Mass ought to be. When I identify a nationally known figure, a strong Catholic, faxed to me last night a long statement, just the closing sentence: I am beginning to be ashamed of being a Roman Catholic. See what's going on among the priests. In our aunt and among some bishops. And this, I repeat, is a condition for our salvation. We need the graces which only priests can provide by their offering of the sacrifice of the Mass. I was 9 years old. By that time, I qualified to be a server at the parish to which I belonged to in Cleveland. And to make it in time, hear it, for the 5:30 a.m. Mass, 9 years of age, I have to get up at 4:30. How we need to recover faith in our lives, in lives of self-surrender. Be of our lecture. Why do we need Holy Communion? We need Holy Communion as our principal source of strength to love God as we should, and our neighbor out of love for God. By the last part is crucial. I think I've said this more than once, There are some dictionaries under pressure from the science, as they call themselves, of psychiatry, not to include the word unlovable, unlovable in the dictionary. Are there unlovable people? There sure are. Naturally speaking, they cannot be loved. And this is over the years, I've told by now, that God knows thousands of people. When Jesus Christ told us at the Last Supper, you know, to love one another as He has loved us, even to dying on the cross out of love for us. Having said that, He just had to, in sheer divine justice, had to provide us with the means to loving one another as Christ has loved us. Which means Christ had no choice. He had to institute the sacrament of the Eucharist, here Holy Communion. That is why the same St. John, who gives some four chapters to Christ's discourse at the Last Supper, and most of that discourse is about love, or better, to use a Catholic vocabulary, charity. Remember what supernatural means? Supernatural means what is above nature, which is impossible to nature, and for us, impossible to our human nature. Like what? Like loving one another as Christ had loved us, had, change the verb, has, does love us. That's why Jesus, in the longest explanation of Holy Communion, in whose gospel is that? The promise of the Holy Eucharist as communion. What gospel? Chapter 6. John. The same Saint John who for chapters records Christ's teaching on the selfless love we are to practice among ourselves. And then John does the incredible thing of telling us how God, within the Trinity, is not just loving, but He is love. The definition of God is love. But hear it, and please don't forget, love means that you give yourself to another person and that is why Christ had to reveal the Holy Trinity. God is love. It is three distinct persons. Let's be clear. The Trinity is not a personification. The Trinity is a reality. There are three different, distinct persons. We define a person as an individual, intelligent being. And these three persons love one another. We do not use the past tense, but have been loving one another from all eternity. Love always existed in God. for the best of reasons, because God always existed. That God is not a single individual, that is heresy. God is a community. God is three persons, each one of whom shares with the other two the totality of each person's divine nature. And when God decided, after creating the visible world, on the sixth day, as described in Genesis, when God decided to create a rational, visible human race. Mysteriously, here was the plural. Let us make man to our image and likeness. God is a plurality of persons. Back to the need for Holy Communion, Christ, I repeat, instituted the sacrament of the Eucharist here as Holy Communion to make possible what is humanly impossible. That, by the way, is a good definition of the supernatural. What is humanly impossible? Either you get the grace to do the humanly impossible, or, pardon me, you don't do it. It is Holy Communion that makes Christian charity possible. Loving God, even when He sends us pain. Oh, how this needs to be said and burnt into our brains. Hear it. Love causes pain. Do you hear me? Father, please watch yourself. You must be tired. It's almost 2:30 in the afternoon. I'm sure you've kept busy this morning, and I have. My mind is perfectly clear. One of the essentials of love is, well, loving those whom, well, I don't see you still love. You love them more because they send you pain. That, 50 years in a priesthood, has taught me many things. Those who cause you pain. Father, are you saying, you can't be saying this, that God is behind the pain in our lives? Pardon me, what's your age? How much education do you have? I'm afraid some Catholics are still in kindergarten when it comes to understanding their faith. Loving God, even when He takes away our most precious possessions, money, health, acceptance by others, a good name. When I was, shall I say, released from the State University, 5 years of teaching at Western Michigan State University. The charge was I was proselytizing. Can you imagine? Proselytizing. All I did was to teach my 2,000 students at Rusty, Michigan State, the truth. The other professor, I think I've told you, in almost empty classrooms, had to hire or provide a large hall for the students that this proselytizer was teaching. Loving others when they do not love us, or worse, positively oppose and perhaps hate us. But that's impossible. You are right. That's where you've just given a good definition of grace. And the principal source of that grace is Holy Communion. I'm not guessing. 30 years in working for the Holy See has taught me many things. Why? For the first time in 20 centuries of the Church's history, has the present Holy Father not just allowed, but encouraged Catholics to receive communion not just daily, but twice daily. Because he has no illusions, none whatever. The hardest virtue to practice in the modern world is loving God.